Accra gets busy on this frequency. 92.7 3 FM.
Johnny's Bite. Johnny's Bite on Sunrise.
Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Assalamu alaikum. It's Thursday. Welcome to Johnny's Bite. The fuel prices have gone up. The ripple effect will be felt very, very soon. And it makes me think and ask serious questions about the gold for oil policy, for example. Were we not told that the gold for oil policy was going to make our lives easier in terms of how much we're buying fuel for? So will Dr. Balmia kindly come out and come and tell us, and those who said it was an innovation, because at some point we now got to know that it's not just gold for oil, but it's gold and our dollars for oil. Because we said that we were going to take our gold and then swap it for dollars and then use that to buy cheaper fuel and bring it to the people of Ghana so we can all breathe. Then we got to know later that we're adding dollars to the gold that we're taking, and then we are still getting fuel at exorbitant rates. And people have raised questions about the quality of fuel that is going around. And it's a pity. Another thing that comes to mind is we are being charged exorbitant rate for our passports. And then I get to know, shockingly, that the passports that we're going to receive, if we pay those, that 500 Ghana cedis, 700 and whatever Ghana cedis, you are still not going to get a chip embedded passport in today's Ghana. So we're going to still get the old passports that we presently have, even if you paid the neck, the throat cutting prices or the rates. So when at all will the cheap embedded passports be issued to Ghanaians so that we can also be at par with people? Because it appears we are 10 years behind the global move. And so for a country that drums home digitalization at the least opportunity, when are we going to have those chip embedded passports? And then you hear people say, oh, if you don't have need for the passport, don't go for it. And the people say, oh, if you can afford to buy a ticket, then you shouldn't be complaining about the price of the passport. Those people are finished eating. They are just belching. That's why they are talking the way they talk. They are finished eating. They are belching. And that's why they are talking the way they talk. It's sad. Very, very sad indeed. A passport is no longer a right. Pretty much like we have made the birth certificate so useless that it is not a mode of identifying you as a Ghanaian and determining your citizenship. Is that where we are going now? In any serious country, people always get emergencies. There are people who suddenly get scholarships. There are people who say, okay, Charlie, I want to take you to the US, UK, Canada, whatever. Do you have a passport? They say, no, I don't have a passport. Then that opportunity passes them by. And you are telling people that if they don't have need for a passport, which, you know, as old as we are as a country, shamefully, sometimes you get to the passport office and they tell you that the paper, the booklet to print your passport is finished. And they are not even ashamed of it. As old as we are as a country, you get to the birth and death registry and they shamelessly tell you that the paper to print the birth certificate is finished. How did we come so low, stoop so low to get on our knees to this level that we are so shameless that it feels like you can't shame the shameless? How? How did we stoop so low, lie so low on the floor, the gateway to Africa, the black star of Africa, in Nkrumah's Ghana? Passport booklets, Asan Etan. You get them, they have the confidence to tell you that. How did we become that? The basic necessaries of life are not available. Yet we find pleasure in giving old people let the retirees go, let the young grow. We say Nanado is not listening. As for Nanado and his old friends, oh my God. Look, you thought that Reverend Amisadai at the GRA had finished everything, right? Pretty much the same way you thought that Mr. Ken Ofori-Atta has gone. Ken Ofori-Atta was given another appointment. You know that. He's supposed to be looking at the global thing. If we're going to borrow all those things, going to advise, he's going to look at that. Now, Reverend Amisadai is going to be the local technical advisor to the finance minister. So they are literally going to micromanage the finance minister. And to think that Reverend Amisadai is a man of God, who, and men of God in this country, all the men of God, and this is to you, you teach us to be modest. You teach us to be content. You teach us to do the right things. You are supposed to be the voice and conscience of society. And Reverend Amisadai is part of you, and he is doing the things he's doing, and you can't call him to order. He's a man of God for God's sake. And the day I learned that the late Sir John was a member of the SDA Church, I said, wow. This is not an attack on the SDA Church. The SDA Church will teach you modesty, chastity, integrity. People who practice vegetarianism. Some don't even wear earrings. They don't like elaborate stuff. And then you read that a man who belongs to a church that teaches you not to like elaborate stuff is owns portions of Achimota Forest and has even willed some to people forever. And then now you find a man of God, a pastor, in the scheme of things, refusing to go away. And then you find a group of pastors who also come together and waste the state resources in the name of the National Cathedral. So are we giving the church a good name or a bad name? Is that how we want the church to be identified? Look at this retrospective, contract extensions to the Commissioner General. Data 26th of March 2024. I am pleased to inform you that the president has granted you 2-year extension. Reverend Amisadai. So we are doing a belated happy contract extension. Jen, show the other letter. I don't have time. But just so you know, Nanado has gone back to lick his spit. Nanado spat on the 5th of August 2022. And told us that he will not grant any post-retirement contract to anybody except he cannot find their expertise anywhere. I doubt that in the scheme of things, Reverend Amisadai is the only one who could have filled the slot for 2 years without a contract. Did he sign any contract? Did he sign any agreements on behalf of Ghana? Was he paid? What are the implications of those actions? Is Kisie Jabin sleeping on the job as a special prosecutor, or is indeed toothless as people have said he is? For 2 years, the man of God who teaches people to have the discipline to do what is right, he stands on the pulpit to minister to people. He anoints people, he prays for them. He couldn't hold himself when the test came for him to do what is right. And even in the midst of all the talk and the conversations, when Nanado spat, forgive me if you're having breakfast, and used his tongue to lick back his spit, show me that 5th of August 2022 memo, signed by the same Abinol Seyasari, who was sitting next to Reverend Amisadai and was defending Reverend Amisadai when the question was asked about his age and whether he had a contract or not. So now you get why Abinol Seyasari was busy defending Amisadai, because they had discussed that we're going to give him a retrospective contract and we're also going to give him a new appointment after he had left to be a technical advisor to the finance minister. So this is Nanado's spit, 5th of August 2022. In 2024, he's using that same tongue, which he uses to say fellow Ghanaians, to lick the ground. So the question is, are we in this together? And Reverend Amin Sada is not the only retiree at post. There are too many of them at post. That the young people who followed Nanado, the young people who believed in Nanado, most of them have given up, including members of the MPP. When you meet them, they lament, but shamefully they go on social media and they start attacking. Where is the principle that I will not give any post-retirement contract because we are in a difficult moment? And in that same year, before that August 2022, in May, the government had even done a whole charade to tell us that they were taking a 30% cut of their salaries so that we will all be comfortable. The Council of State that advises the president, they said they were going to take a 20% cut of their allowances so that we can all be comfortable. Don't you think that it will be a wise thing to do? If any government that is accountable around the world is minded, would know that I have deducted 30% of my money since May 2022 up until today. And I need to tell the people, oh, this is how much has accrued and this is what we have used it for. This is common sense. It's not an insult that I say you are suffering. So I want to dedicate a portion of my earnings to you to make sure you are comfortable. But I will not give the money to you. I will make the money have an impact on your life. Up until now, nobody has up. And the only thing you hear is appointments, appointments, appointments. I tell you, there are ministers and deputy ministers in this country that you will never know about, you will never meet. They will never cough, they will never speak. But when the month ends, they smile to the bank. When their tenure ends, they will go to the bank to go and collect their ex gratia. Some of them have served as deputy ministers for 2 terms because the tenure is ending very soon. And some of them you have never met. Their impact on the governance of the country has never been felt anywhere. Except to say that, oh, I have put 15 people in the prison service. I have put 2 people at GRE. That is not the job of governance. If you are made a deputy minister for health, for example, what has been your impact and inclusion, your scorecard at the Ministry of Health as a deputy minister? At the Ministry of Chieftaincy and Religious Affairs as a deputy minister? At the Ministry of Gender as a deputy minister? As a Ministry of Business Development, the ESWA Business Development, as a deputy minister? As a minister of Zongo Development and as a deputy minister. If you like, go on to the various websites of the ministries. And as for Nanado, he doesn't like to have space. So when you complain about the elephant-sized government, he says, I know what I'm doing. As if he's running the country from his pocket. Then when you say, oh, at least somebody has gone, so merge some of the ministries so that we can at least have a breathing space. He says, no. The German government told him that when we're begging to go to the IMF, he didn't listen. He still hasn't listened. Do you think, why were you thinking that the Paris Club and all those people were stretching us and are still stretching us? Why do you think? One person goes out and he brings two people in. What crime have we committed? There's another retiree at ICO. Now, do you know our friend, Dr. Ligebam? Show his picture quickly. Dr. Benedict Bonaventure Ligebam. He's Nanado's friend. He doesn't respect his sector minister, Brian Echampo, because Brian Echampo wrote and told him to go home because they cannot give him a contract extension because the rules do not permit that. He says, you can't sack me. The regional minister wrote to him and said, you have to go home. He said, you can't sack me. His HR wrote to him. He says, you can't sack me. He appears before Parliament's Public Account Committee. He said, you can't sack me. He met the union and he says, you can't sack me, because he has not said it verbally, but his actions show that you cannot touch me. So yesterday I was digging. I said, Stephen Yakubu, he's the minister for the region, the Upper East region. And Stephen Yakubu filled the big shoes of Roxanne Bukari and another lady. So when Stephen Yakubu wrote that letter to us, that he had ordered his friend Dr. Ligebam to go away. And if you don't know Stephen Yakubu, Stephen Yakubu is the minister who told us that, oh, when the 24-hour economy happens, you men can't sleep with their wives. This is the man. He's still at post, though. See, he wrote that letter on the 16th or so of March. Then on the 25th of March, he goes to meet the staff of ICOT, literally threatening them, playing tribal bigotry, and telling them that, oh, those people that they have been sending information to cannot feed them and they will not feed them, forgetting that those people he was talking to are civil servants who are paid with the taxes of the people. You see the ignorance and the arrogance, a wild mix of ignorance and arrogance put together. And when you say, they say, oh, they are senior citizens, they are old people, don't talk. But when the old people are not acting as old people, what do we do? You have to call a spade a spade. Listen to the tape. Listen.
Let's take this opportunity to welcome the Regional Minister, the Board Chair. I know you have been looking for this opportunity for wedding business, but I have been looking for it. I know it's busy nature. The man sent down the road to office, we have had previous nights, and we talk, and I know how time is. Last Friday, we had a meeting, and I've really with him at this. So come on, the wedding business, wife of me. At least come and talk to staff, and I think that this is busy, some of the things that we're doing. So together, please, let's welcome the Regional Minister, the Board Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, staff and management. I think the norm has always been for us to pray before we start the meeting. If someone can pray for us.
Let us pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Every Father, we thank you, we bless you, we give you all the honor and adoration. We exalt your name for all that you have done for us, O Lord. We thank you for your traveling mercies. We thank you for gathering us here this morning. Lord God Almighty, we leave this meeting to your hands. Let the Holy Spirit take us all in dominion, take us all in control. Let it come to successful end, that your name will be glorified. We thank you and we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 All right, thank you very much. I am here today because ICOR is always in the news for the wrong reasons. And I am quite happy that all of you here, most of you, know. And we all are looking after our family or putting the food on the table because ICOR is resistance. Of course, if there are problems, we sit down and talk about it. But you see, what I've realized as also an indigene of this region is that every small thing we run and then is in the media. Every small thing is in the media. But we're all Ghanaians. We thank God that these days you don't even have to travel anywhere. But you can hear or you can listen to news of other schemes. Is that how other schemes are? The news from Tolu. I don't hear the sort of news that goes out like other schemes. Do we think that there are no problems? Those things. There are problems. And if you're a leader in this region, I would say a political leader, as a regional minister, you get tired. You get so tired about all these negative things about the region. You get tired. If it is not Boko, it is something else. If it is not this, and you know, I've also realized that in this region, in fact, apart from the Kasina language, all the other languages are almost the same. Okay? All the other languages, from east to west, from north to south, in this region. So in that sense, I would say we are all brothers and sisters. In that sense. And you see, there's a love that is common to all of us. And we seem to know too much. We seem to know everything. We seem not to forgive. And all the time, as if, as for us, we cannot also sit down and solve our own problems. So, you will have our brothers who are probably not in this region. And I say our brothers because we are the people who send the information out there. And it happens like that either workplaces or down south. But these same people will not be responsible for your food on the table. These same people, they will not. Our destiny is intense to know it's going to be. So we need to look after it. Of course, as a human institution, there will be problems. There will be. But if there are those problems, can't we sit down and discuss it and then find a way forward? Can't we do that? That is what all human institutions do. If there are problems, corporation, business, you have the managers, you have the board, and you have the workers. And then you also have the workers union. But all these groups should be working, complementing each other for the common goal of being here. It seems to me that is not the goal. So I want to come, and that is why I'm here today, to just listen to all of you. We have several meetings here. To listen to the staff, listen to management, listen to Zip Gao, right? And then see what we can. I know Professor Samuel said something. He said, fear, sir. So this one is to fear, sir. Let us talk about it and resolve it in the interest of us, in the interest of Tono, in the interest of our children. Because putting our matters out there, it's not going to help us. Yes, managing director is system. Yes, and to be system in this country of ours, means you've done what I need. Because I know people who pass on when they are not system. So if you are system, you should celebrate. And our law says that when you're 60, can't continue working unless there are things that you can do. Right there, that same law also gives hoping some chances also either to apply or continue or whatever it is. And that decision usually is made by, you know, certain people. So as a worker, as management, what is your interest in it? Tell me. Whether the person is 60 or 60, is it your business? Allow the processes to go through. If the person is 60 and is not moving out and they stop his pay and or he takes pay and he's arrested and he's locked up, what is your business in it? Tell me. Because there are laws that governs all these things. So what is your problem in making sure that you use every means? Why? You think that the owners of ICOR, that is government, doesn't know? You think that they don't know? As a worker, what is your problem in it? I don't understand it. Then this thing goes to national for discussions. And everything is about advice. Everything is about advice. As if we can't solve our own problems. Why should we discuss these things in the national radios or television? Tell me. Why? Today we are here. I want to listen to everybody. So we take intents. I want to start from the workers. Tell me the problems. And I don't want anybody to hide anything from anybody. And whatever you say will remain here. Maybe I should have taken all your forms. So that you don't go and record me and or record your friend and then go and give it to people in that kind of thing. Can we all put our phones out? I think it's better.
Pauline, can you see that? Go around and put everyone else.
If you have your phone,
everybody knows it's full. So we'll take it and finish.
And I will give you your phone. Yeah, well, yeah. If you are recording, you already recorded my distance. And if I get to you, who has done that? Me and a test, because it's something that you do with your phone.
Johnny's Bite on Sunrise.